Hey y'all, Sue Ann here from SueAnnTexas.com. I'm happy you're listening to episode number 2 in this new venture of mine in podcast land that Spirit has guided me into. I have lots of information to share. As I said in episode number 1, I tend to just be brimming with information that I know can be helpful to share with my clients when we're on phone appointments together. And I specifically am approaching these episodes as if I'm on the phone with you as a client. I know it's not exactly the same, but just the way I'm going to approach it and flow with it, the kinds of information that I would share with you if you're my client. And I've been at this a really long time, and I've got some pretty darn good information that it is a big part of my purpose in life, my spiritual purpose, to share for those who want it. So I do these recordings. Don't edit. I know it's not slick. I know it's not fancy, but I like the organic energy, and I think that's the way this is meant to be, at least for now. So, let's go. Episode number 2, Real Deal Love Never Ever Dies. It doesn't die. We have those connections. Things don't ever die. They just change form. And certainly the energy of love and those connections, it's never broken, y'all. It's not ever broken. It may not always be exactly in the form we wish it was, we even long for it to be, but there's something to take heart in knowing that those connections, those energies, the importance of that love, it never goes away. It never dies. And so I've got lots of cool little stories. I think they're cool little stories. Things I can, it's real deal life, things I've lived with people I've loved and gotten help from on the other side once they passed over, which is just beyond invaluable. I'm almost tearing up even getting into this topic with y'all because it's so important and it's so meaningful to me, and it makes, I can't even describe the positive impact it's had on my life and continues to have on a daily and nightly basis. I'm not even sure I even have enough human perspective to even know how to fully convey the positive impact. So to be aware of these things and hear how it can really work for somebody, for anybody, not just me, but all of y'all that want it, this is just good stuff. This is good stuff to know about, and I'm going to give y'all some tangible, helpful pieces of information you can run with. So, real deal love never dies. The connections are always there. It can include our animals. It can include relatives, ancestors, other people we've been close to or cared about. And also reincarnation. I'm going to get into that too. I've got plenty of animal stories that I've lived with that, of animals from past lives, this lifetime. And so we get to keep experiencing those love connections in different forms. And there's value and purpose in that. And it brings meaning to our lives and help and support too. So I just feel like this is a really important topic, and here we go. So I'm going to start with the story of one of my grandfathers. I had a set of grandparents on one side of the family that we geographically lived close by. And for multiple reasons, I was just closer to them. Adored them, was very close to them. My other set of grandparents, I had a lot of respect for them for a lot of different reasons. Geographically, pretty darn far away, and I just didn't know them as well, was not as close to them. A lot of cousins on that side of the family that did live close to them, that I knew they were close to, and it was just a different situation. But I always had a lot of respect for them. I just, in this lifetime, didn't feel as close to them. So the grandparents I did feel quite close to, adored, loved, spent time with when I was young. They both passed when I was pretty young. That grandfather, he was the first spirit to come through for me when I got on this metaphysical spiritual path of mine. No disrespect to him. I longed for my grandmother, my Nana, but she was not the one that came through, not until many, many years later. And part of why I'm sharing that is that's how it works a lot of times. And there can be different reasons for that, but I just want to toss that out there just so y'all know. So I had gone on this spiritual quest, not knowing it was going to have anything at all to do with my life purpose, and certainly not a profession for me. I was just doing my own thing, looking for answers and understanding and information. Was on this spiritual path. It got really metaphysical. I started realizing I had a propensity for that. And I was at the point where I was really diving into that. And for me, that was a pure love and pure light thing. And it was extremely spiritual. It came from my soul. It felt important. It felt like the right path. This is a sacred thing for me. And that's the kind of energies I was coming from. And I was on a real path of discovery. And I had been told I was really tuned in and that I could probably be channeling, etc., and that I had intuition. I kind of didn't get it and wasn't sure I believed it, but I was working at it. And that's maybe not uncommon, I think, for a lot of people. Because I didn't grow up with this kind of stuff. This was really different than what I grew up with. So I'm at that point in my path. And was sort of in that space and frame of mind one evening. I don't remember exactly what I was thinking about or exactly what I was doing, but I remember I was sitting at my little breakfast room table. And was just in a quiet mode. And honestly, I can't remember what I was thinking or why I was sitting there, but I was in that metaphysical mode. And I kind of had the lights down and was doing whatever I was doing. Out of the blue, I felt like, didn't know why, but I felt like I have to hold my hand out next to me over the chair that's next to me at the table. And didn't even know why I was doing it. Obviously, it was an intuitive thing. And I sensed something there. I literally felt heat there, and I knew somebody was there. Heat like a person was sitting there, but nobody was, right? I was alone in the house. And I realized pretty quickly, oh, this is my grandfather. And he's here to be with me. And I started getting some little messages from him. So he was the first one. He was the first one that came through. I knew that I was aware of consciously and was getting messages, etc. from. And that was a really great thing because he's somebody, obviously, I loved and would trust. And that made it a good experience for me. Now, to go back onto the topic, which a lot of us, you know, might be in this mode of, gosh, but I was had been closer to my Nana. She passed when I was really young. And I still really missed her, even though it was many, many, many years later. But it wasn't right for her to come through yet. She was doing other things on the other side. And the point is, I got what I needed. And it was perfect the way it was. And that's an important thing to keep in the back of your mind with this. Be careful about getting homed in on whether it's about a person on the other side or an animal. Be mindful of, you know, we pretty much get what we need when we need it. And to recognize it and to fully appreciate it and be grateful and give thanks and accept it, accept the help. It's okay to want what you want and to strive for that and to be aware of that. That's important, to know your own heart. But it's important to take the gifts that are being given to you, that are the ones that are available right then, and what maybe exactly you need right then. In this instance for me, it had some extra importance for different reasons that it was him that came through, because part of what he wanted to impart to me in the moment was that he had been watching me and he was glad I was on this path that was much more creative and very different than what I'd been doing. And there are different reasons why that message was really important and why it was important for me that it came specifically from him. That carried some extra weight. And he was a perfect messenger for that, to say, look, I don't want you to be on this other path. I want you to be on the path you're starting to go down, you're trying to go down. And it makes me happy that you're doing this and you should do it. That was the gist, part of the gist of what that was about. And to have that specifically come from him, again, really carried some extra import, some extra weight. So that's one of the reasons why that was really important. Also, to just have that support, because he was there on an ongoing basis, and I knew, you know, I felt he was going to be there on an ongoing basis, and take that pure love and pure light help. Take it. He passed over when I was a young teenager, and it was sudden, and I was sad. I knew it was probably the right time for him, but gosh, you know, I just missed those grandparents, both of them. So be glad for what you do have and what gifts do come. That's really important, and give thanks. And he stayed with me a very long time, and he's still with me now. So it was very cool that he came in and lent that support early on in my path. And, you know, basically put his stamp of approval on a path that nobody else around me, my family, was going to put a stamp of approval on. And I knew it. And it was cool that I got that stamp of approval and support in a really clear way like that. pretty far in advance of me realizing how big this path was going to get for me. So I had that under my belt. I had that in the back of my mind. I had that support going into the bigger part of this path for me that's led me to recording this right now for y'all. Who the heck knew? You know, I certainly didn't know at the time. He probably knew. I didn't know. So I had that support and that idea from him ahead of the path getting to much bigger points. So that obviously that was great and cool and maybe even critical at some points for me to have. This wasn't, you know, a path full of just, you know, roses and butterflies for me necessarily, for different reasons. I just knew it was the right path for me to embark on, and I was just going to do it. If I had to live in a tent and eat dirt, I was going to do it. I just needed to do it. And I have, and I'm so glad. I would never go back to living the other way. So that's what I think is a pretty cool example. One of the next examples, and y'all hang with me here for a minute. This is going to sound hokey. Some of y'all may want to turn this off after you hear this. I thought it was kind of funny, but there's a real point to it. So hang with me for this next little part. Excuse me. I've got to clear my throat. That's a throat chakra thing. When I have to clear my throat like that, sometimes I have this throat chakra thing. My clients that work with me know this. Different things will happen in my throat chakra on a physical level, and I have no control over it. But part of the point, it has meaning. It doesn't happen for no darn good reason. The meaning of it is, I just didn't know this was going to come up today in this episode, is it's a sign for us to pay attention. So when I'm talking on the phone with a client, and I start getting a variation of this throat chakra thing. And sometimes can barely talk. I mean, I'm hacking and coughing and can barely talk. So the degree of it can make a difference and have meaning. The point is to get my attention. I'm paying attention anyway, but it's an extra message of I need to pay attention. But even more so, it's for the client, the person listening, to realize, hey, spirit wants you to pay attention. Whatever is about to come up may look like a throwaway piece of information. It may not look important, may not sound important. You may laugh when you hear it, but it matters. It needs to be said. It needs to be heard. It needs to be noted. Pay attention. So that is happening with this thing I'm about to tell you. So my other grandmother, the one I had a lot of respect for, just didn't know as well, didn't see her very often, wasn't as close to. It's a story about her. So I'm still in my other career, my straight job, not happy, but doing the best I can, and I'm starting to be in this, really being up to my eyeballs in this metaphysical part, this spiritual quest of mine. So to kind of help myself with that, because I didn't know how to do this better for myself and still be in that life that I wasn't crazy about, I would get up really early in the morning, like maybe 5 o'clock, and have a pretty decent chunk of quiet time where I'd sit, maybe have a cup of coffee, sit in a comfortable spot in the house with the lights off, but maybe a candle lit, and just sort of be with things. I was starting to tune into my intuition. I was having things happen around me that I would consider, you know, metaphysical experiences. And I was in that mode of wanting to be on my spiritual path, to experience these things, to learn, grow, understand, and to help myself keep some balance while I was still in that life that really was, I had a lot of pressure to be there. I had a good opportunity, but I was miserable. But while I was still kind of had a foot in both worlds and was in my transitional spot, this was a way that I kept going with the part of my life I knew I needed to, the more spiritual part, and try and find some balance. And I would do that early in the morning before I got ready and went to the office and did my straight job. So I was one of those mornings sitting on the couch, having my coffee. Oftentimes I'd sit there with my eyes closed. I don't even know that I knew what I was doing. I just would give myself the opportunity to be with it and see what would happen. And just intend to sit and receive and experience and try to get some balance. I wasn't doing real deal meditation at the time, but it was a meditative type mode and it was my quiet time. And that's part of how I survived the career I was in till I could get out of it, till I took myself out of it. So dark, candle in front of me, lit, sipping my coffee. Sometimes my eyes are open, sometimes my eyes are closed, and I'm just being, basically, and picking up on some things and just having that time. Well, at one point, my eyes were open, and I know this sounds hokey, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw something big and tall and white, literally like a Casper the Ghost sort of a thing, floating into the room. And I was sitting on the couch that, you know, faced into the center of the room, and there was ample walk space, like out of the hallway that would, you know, go behind the couch and into the next room. And so this thing was this big, tall, white thing, literally like a Casper the Ghost sort of a thing, came floating through and just, whoosh, you know, was silent, but just floated through and behind me and past. And I had had enough experiences at that point that I just sort of chuckled to myself and said, oh, okay, so who's here now? It didn't feel threatening at all. And I heard it was my grandmother. The one that I didn't know as well was not as close to when she was here on this side. So, a couple of things here to unpack. One, the point of it looking the way it did, there's a couple of reasons why. Things work however, the bottom line is things work however they need to for each of us in the moment to get the point across, to affect whatever needs to be affected for us. So, she was a pretty tall woman and had a, you know, some size to her. And so the size of it kind of made sense, right? She was way taller than me, had a bigger frame than me, and what I saw matched that. So that was a bit of a confirmation, helped me connect that together. And I was sitting in this darkened room with just a candle in front of me, and because it was this white thing just sort of whoosh, you know, like floating, I was able to see it. And so these things can work however they want. I've never seen anything like that before or since. But I don't have to, right? I mean, it just needs to work however it needs to work. After that, and after my grandfather coming through before that I mentioned in the first story, a lot of times they would do just little things to get my attention. Because I didn't have to do anything bigger. I already knew who was a lot of who was around. And they didn't need to do big things. So that's some things for y'all to keep in mind. And that grandmother stayed with me for a very long time. Then she, to my knowledge, conscious knowledge, wasn't around, but just in the last few days, maybe even because I was about to do this podcast episode, I've become aware of her being around again, and thank you very much. Yeah, so I have three of my grandparents really closely around me, two in particular, and then now she's around here and there too. So thank you, y'all. Some of the other things they started doing after that, because they didn't have to, didn't need to make the grand gestures. It'll work however it needs to for you, so that you'll know they're around. A lot of times what they started doing some point after that is, I had some, you know, different potted plants around the house. And a lot of times, whoever was around and, you know, wanted to get my attention to, so that I would know, you know, that person was around, is for absolutely no discernible reason, period, none. A plant, a leaf on a plant that happened to be in my line of vision for whatever I was doing, wherever I was in the house at the time, would suddenly just be bouncing up and down. I mean, like real deal, boing, like 2 or 3 inches up and down. Can't miss it. It literally was like somebody came by and thumped it. The point was, it was obvious. It was, there was no reason, no airflow in the house. Air conditioning, heating, not on, no windows open. You get the picture. And it was, would be just a single leaf, and it would happen to be, you know, in my line of vision at a particular moment. So that became a pattern for some years. To just give you another example, I think over the years, gosh, there's been times when, you know, feathers, a lot of people talk about feathers. I see feathers a lot for different reasons. But sometimes when I see them, I associate them with my grandmother, Nana, that I love so much and missed and have around me a lot now. A couple of years ago, that grandfather, the first one who came through for me, there was a particular day that had meeting for me. And I was at a gas station pumping diesel in my truck, and I looked down and there was a quarter that had a particular image on it and a particular year that had real meaning for me. And it was happening on a day that had meaning for me. And I immediately heard that it was from him. And so I picked that up, and that has meaning for me. That could be another thing. So, okay, I've got one more people spirit story to give you another example, and then we're going to get into the animals, which I know a lot of y'all probably want to get into that. My Nana, my grandmother Nana, wasn't, the story I'm about to tell happened at a time when every once in a while I'd feel her around, but it was still not an everyday thing. But I was grateful whenever I did feel her around. Just to give y'all a little bit of context. Oh, there goes my throat again. Excuse me. So apparently this story matters, and I need to take the time to share it, for somebody for all of y'all, hopefully, but for somebody maybe, particularly. That just, I don't know why that came out of my mouth. That must mean something. So if this helps one other person, then I'm glad. And here we go. So I have horses, horse person. I compete with my horses. Some years ago, I was looking for another horse to compete on. Someone had told me about a horse in the area. I contacted the trainer and was going to go over there and try this horse out. And he said, hey, I've got this other horse that you really ought to look at too. And for different reasons, for whatever reason, I wasn't homing in on that horse, wasn't paying attention. I don't know why. But I got there, tried out the first horse, and I just thought, man, this horse is just not meant for me. It's just not a fit. This horse is talented, but not, she's not my horse, I'm not her person, etc. And for whatever reason, right or wrong, I wasn't homing in on this other horse, but that he was wanting to show me. And he said, hey, you know, do you want to look at this other horse or not? And he said, here, they've pulled him out of the barn. And this horse had been turned out for a while. Cool horse. But they hadn't done anything with him for just a little bit of time. And he was just standing there with his halter on, and I looked at him, and I mean, I don't know how to describe this completely, but it's as if I saw lightning bolts coming off of this horse's face. I mean, it was happening on multiple levels. I literally, physically, you know, kind of saw like waves of energy, but intuitively, I just felt this stunning impact. And I turned and looked at the trainer and I said, I'm not leaving till I get on that horse. And he just kind of grinned. Because I think he's a bit intuitive. I think all the good horse trainers, animal trainers are, whether they know it or not. And I think he knew this horse was kind of special. So I end up getting this horse. And super cool horse. Still have him. An important stepping stone. Love him. He was really cool to show. He's retired now, but was really cool to show. But I got him, and I didn't quite put all the information together till after I got him, but the trainer ended up telling me, hey, did you know that these people, I saw Champagne Ranch on the registration papers out of California. I just wasn't familiar with Champagne Ranch. And I wasn't as familiar with that stud, even though it was a big deal stud that this horse came from. And he said, hey, did you know that ranch, that's the descendants of the Lawrence Welk family? Well, a lot of you may be too young to know, but back in the day, a really long time ago, Lawrence Welk was a really popular show on TV, and it was a variety show. And when I was really, really, really young, that beloved grandmother of mine, Nana, she loved that show, and I used to sit in her lap when she watched it. So that had some sentimental significance to me. And I said, no, I didn't realize, you know, that they were in the horse business. He said, yeah, that horse was bred and originally came from Lawrence Welk Jr.'s Champagne Ranch. That's who Champagne Ranch is. Well, that had meaning to me, obviously, because of my Nana, right? And at that point, when she was around, I was grateful, but she wasn't always around a lot. And it just had even a little bit of extra meaning because of that. So, you know, a few days later, I'm just living my life, and I happen to be doing a bunch of ironing, And I was standing in, you know, directly underneath a ceiling fan with lights. And I was thinking about this. And I was thinking, gosh, I really miss my Nana. I wish she was here. I wish she'd probably like this. And I was in that line of thought and thinking everything I was thinking, and the lights blinked. Now, there was no reason for that. And I noticed and I thought, okay, so she's here. And I was thinking about some more, and I just started talking to her out loud and just telling her, hey, you know, I know you're here. I know you're watching. I'm really glad. I wish you were here physically. I'd love for you to see this horse and see me show this horse because he's really cool. Oh, this is making me emotional to tell you all this story. But I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're watching. And I thought you would enjoy knowing that this horse had a connection to the Lawrence Welk family. And the lights blinked again. So I know she was there. And so things can happen that way too. You know, people can pick that apart and say, oh gosh, there's probably, or maybe, a logical, you know, reason for that to happen. But that hasn't happened that way before or since. Now, I've had lights blink other times in other rooms, and it happens in a way where I know it's a message. It has something to do with spirit on the other side, maybe a message for me. And so that can work that way too. So that is another little story to have under your hat and see how this can work for you. So I told that little story last, kind of segue into the animal part, and I have several animals. I have two in particular that are with me on the other side, very closely with me. And then I have a couple with me that reincarnated to be with me. This is really cool stuff, and it's cool stuff to know about because it's very heartening to know that there are possibilities to reconnect people with people and with the animals too. Sonny was a super cool horse. He started my competitive horse career. I could talk about him forever. A lot of cool stories about this horse. I just knew I was supposed to end up with him. I was just getting into competing, and the horse trainer kept wanting me to look at this other horse. And I just knew that horse was not mine. I felt badly for her because she felt really sad. And I knew she was talented, but I also knew she wasn't meant to be mine. And whether it's an animal or a particular crystal piece I'm looking at, just a little sidebar piece of information, I'm always real particular about, is that really meant to be mine? I don't ever want to take something that belongs to somebody else that's meant for them, that's going to help them. And that's just my personal intention and my recommendation for y'all out there, is to be mindful of those things, because you don't want somebody else to do something untoward or be mindless or greedy or whatever and kind of hijack something that might be important for you. I tend to think things work out how they need to, but we have free will. And things can happen and things can intervene. So, back to the original story. I knew that horse was not meant to be mine. I was looking at this other horse. But I knew the trainer thought I should have been looking at the mare, not the gelding. But the second time I tried that horse out, I could feel the horse trainer looking at me from across the arena. And out of the corner of my eye, I thought, He's pretty intuitive, and he gets it. He gets it. He knows this horse and I are supposed to be together. And this horse ended up being incredible for me. And this is making me emotional again. He was such a cool... is. He's still with me. He's here with me right this minute, actually. Very cool horse. Like I said, man, I could go on forever about this horse and tell great stories. I actually even have a post, a blog post on my site, if any of y'all want to go look that up, where I talked about him. And it's just a short little post that about this particular topic that we're talking about, how the love connections stay there. If anybody wants to go look that up, and it's a old picture of he and I at our first show together, where largely because of him, we kicked butt and won two buckles and got a check that night. So the story that I was going to get to, and I may choke up telling this story, but it might end up being really helpful, different parts of it for some of y'all. So obviously I love this horse. I owe a lot to him. He started my competitive career, and wow, I mean, we had a lot of successes, and he made me earn things with him. But once he realized I was going to step up and really go for it with him, he was like, okay, I'll carry you through. And I mean, that horse probably would have broken his legs for me trying to get his job done. Not that I'd ever want that, but I talk about some of the stories in that blog post if y'all want to go read that. Super cool. And so, fast forward some years, I had to retire him at some point for physical issues. And then there was a point where something happened. And despite thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and heroic efforts by a really great equine vet down the road, it just didn't look like it was going to have a positive outcome. And the vet was very distraught over it and hated it. I think he would have anyway, but he knew how much it was killing me. So, and there was, but Sonny stayed real bright and strong, and the vet kept saying, I don't understand. He said, most horses, their demeanor, their physical state would have deteriorated by now, and it's unusual. And I think there's different reasons why Sonny stayed looking so great, even toward the very end. But he finally did kind of turn that corner. So the vet and I both knew, okay, he's turned that corner. He's ready. We all hate this. But we're going to need to put him down and end the suffering. Now I'm getting emotional. It's always a hard decision to make, no matter how, I think, elevated you are spiritually, just to be human. It's a tough decision to make. And I talked to a lot of clients dealing with this, going into it, during, and after. So we made the decision, and at this point, Sonny was staying at the vet's, and luckily it was not too far down the road. And so I was visiting him, and we set the date, made all the arrangements. I was going to have him cremated, etc. And in my mind, everybody understood I wanted to be there when this happened. Just, and it's a very hard thing to do. A lot of people can't do it. A lot of people won't do it. A lot of people think they can't do it. But for me, there was no way I was going to let this happen without him knowing I was there. Yeah, I'm really getting emotional now. I just was not going to let it happen without me being there with him and for him. And him seeing me, knowing it. It didn't matter. In my mind, it didn't matter how hard it was on me. That wasn't the point. The point was, he was my partner. I loved him. I owed him a lot. I just absolutely was not going to be there. So, in my mind, I thought everybody understood. I was not in a great state of mind. This was really hard for me. So, the things that got jumbled up, probably due to me and not the vet office. and that things just happen sometimes, despite our best efforts. So the day came. I was doing everything I could to be in a great space. And I knew what time I was going to go down there. And he had said he was going to do it, you know, right after lunch. And so I was just doing whatever I felt like I needed to do, meditate, etc. And I was just preparing. I wanted to be in as good a space as possible when I drove down there. I started getting a funny feeling intuitively and getting messages of like, look, you need to leave now. You need to leave now. You need to leave right now. And luckily it was literally, you know, just right down the road, not very far. So I hopped in the truck, ran down there. I'm still not catching on that anything out of whack is happening. Pull up, go to his stall. He's not in the stall. And my heart sank. I started getting a really bad feeling. But I could literally see his hoof prints in the dirt where they let him out. And so I was literally looking down, following the hoof prints, you know, around the office building and to the edge of some trees and some land. And as I came around the corner, I looked up and I saw Sonny, my horse, the vet standing there holding him, and the vet tech. And I realized, oh my gosh, there's obviously been some horrific mix-up here. And they didn't understand I was supposed to be here for this. And oh my gosh, and as soon as I came around the corner and saw that, it was just this horrific feeling. And I immediately called out. I was calling out to them, but I was also calling out to Sonny. I wanted him to know I was there. And I was saying, no, 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 stop, 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 stop. And of course, they turned around and looked, and they were horrified because that's not what they wanted. They didn't want this to not go right for me. And as soon as Sonny heard my voice and knew I was there, he went down. So they had already dosed him. But at least he knew I was there. So I ran up, and he was laying there and hadn't quite completely left his body yet, but was, anyway, I sat there with him. He knew I was there, and the vet was mortified and apologizing, but also gave me space and let me have my experience of this with this incredible animal that I loved. Later, they told me, the vet said he had already dosed him. He didn't know I was supposed to be there. Somehow we had not communicated that well between us, that he had already dosed the horse. And Sonny wouldn't go down. Like, he gave him a full dose, and Sonny would not go down. And the vet was really hating doing this. So he was frustrated and was just kind of white-knuckling through it himself and wanted to get it over with. And the vet tech told me later that she was telling the vet he's waiting for her. He's waiting for Sue Ann. He's not going to go until she's here. And The vet was frustrated and sent the vet tech to go get a second full dose. And interestingly, she says, you know, in a hurry and being upset, whatever, she literally like dropped and broke, you know, the bottle. And then had to get another one. So I think part, you know, if y'all haven't already figured this out, all of this was starting to go on. This was going on when I started all of a sudden getting that bad feeling and hearing, you have to go now, you have to go now, you have to go now. So, sidebar, intuition matters, y'all. If I haven't impressed that upon y'all enough, we all have it to some degree. You can develop it. You can really use it to help yourself. So all of that was going on, and that's why I had to hurry up and jump in the truck and go down there. Plus, Sony was probably connecting with me too, right? So, wanting me to be there, knowing that I wanted to be there for him. So, yeah, that vet told me later, he said he's only had that happen one other time when a horse just flat wouldn't go down with one dose. And he said it was a similar thing, that the horse and the person were just really connected. So I think for me, part of the takeaway here is Sonny could have given it up and just gone down with the first dose or taken himself out another way. But I think, and this is indicative of his personality and character, he just was tough enough and was like, no, I'm not going to go until I see her, she sees me, and we get to do this together. Because that's the way we planned it. And that's the way we both want it to be. Now, people who can say animals don't have a soul and they don't have personalities, I don't know how you can hear that story and think that. But that's just my thought on that. I mean, I think these things matter. The bond and the love was just there. So I sat in the dirt with this horse after he'd already left his body, you know, bawled and squalled like a baby for 2 hours. Honest to Pete, and I'm not making this up, and it freaked the vet out. I realized he had left his body. His spirit had left. But I was standing there, and before the vet left to give me some alone time with Sonny, we were talking a few moments. And he was apologizing yet again. And I looked down at Sonny, and honest to Pete, I saw his eyelids blink. And I know technically it's not possible. He was long gone. I had even felt that his spirit had left. But what I got out of that moment was, holy smokes, it's like his spirit came back in for a moment. And he was there. He was around. I think he wanted me to know, hey, I may have left the body behind, but I'm still around. And there may be other messages in there too, but that's the gist. I mean, I saw it. I didn't make it up. His eyelid blinked, and it was like he was there. I saw life in his eyes for just a nanosecond, and I knew it. So I ended up sitting there, as I said, a couple hours on my own with Sonny's, body. Allowing myself the experience of, you know, to just mourn and, you know, go through this because it just wasn't easy and I just knew it wasn't going to be. But I felt him around. And for about 45 minutes maybe of that, 2 hours, there was a red-tailed hawk that kept circling overhead. Now, there's lots of red-tailed hawks here They do circle around. I personally have not experienced one circling around over me for that length of time, but it circled around and it called out, and I knew that had to do with Sonny. And him still very much being around and wanting me to know it and being connected. And I did get some messages and sense of him passing on and kind of floating up, if you will, and processing. And it was a really hard experience, but it was a very interesting experience. At one point in this whole thing for a few days for me, was pretty intense. At one point, he reconnected with me and I really clearly got some messages from him. And part of what came up was, well, I was still there at the vet clinic and he was passing over. He was looking back and doing a bit of a life review, sort of. And he communicated to me, oh my gosh, I had no idea how much, the full extent, how much you loved me. And all the effort you put out for me. And he expressed some regret of not being present with that. And in life, he was a bit of a curmudgeon and not just a super lovey-dovey horse. He was super cool. I could tell you stories for days about this horse, just like y'all could probably tell me about your animals. But he had a bit of that curmudgeon kind of holding back thing, like some people can have. And he was really, he was looking back and expressing his real regret of how he kind of missed the boat on that. Of, you know, how much I cared for him and all the extra effort I went to for him. And it's not that he wasn't appreciative when he was here, but he had a perspective and was expressing and getting some understanding and expressing the regret of love withheld, affection withheld to some degree while he was here, and the extreme regret that he was starting to have as he was passing over and processing, looking back and the realization of that. And, you know, that's just probably a good lesson for all of us. Yeah, when this horse passed over, this was a real, very distinct experience for me and really drove the point home. Really drove it home for me of how real deal love, those connections never die. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. It's there. And luckily, it doesn't always work out this way. I want y'all to know. Sometimes we have to be really patient. Like I had to be really patient for my Nana grandmother to come through for me. And then also, again, to really be around me a lot. But in this particular instance with Sonny, I got the gift of him coming through to me and talking to me, you know, communicating with me from the other side really, 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 really quickly. And that was a huge gift for me, huge beyond words gift, and made a massive difference in how quickly I could deal with this, as you can imagine. And knowing that it doesn't always work out that clearly, that quickly, you know, I treasure that experience even more. So, that is one of the big stories that I think can really give you a lot to chew on. I have another horse that is named Tommy, and at a time when I was not looking to write another check for yet another horse. Those of y'all who are horse people, y'all understand how this goes. It's kind of, yeah, it's like a big black hole your money just goes into, but we do it because we love it. My horse trainer called and said, hey, got some new clients with some additional horses in the barn. They need to sell some. I've got one I think you need to come look at. So I did. Showed up that day, walked into the pen to work this horse, try him out. And there's multiple people in the pen, trainers, some other people, multiple horses tied along the fence line. I didn't even know which one he was. I walked into the pen and on foot and everybody else's horse back. My trainer starts calling out to me saying, oh, hey, hello, blah, blah, blah. And he's pointing the horse out to me for me to go get him and get on him. Now, I'm probably a good 50 or 60 feet away from this horse. And I haven't even quite even like focused, homed in on him and looked at him. And he was tied where his butt was toward me, and I really couldn't even see his head. He was facing the other direction. And it was kind of a windy day, and it was kind of hard to hear things. But I'm telling y'all, this horse, I don't even know how he did it. But as soon as he could hear my voice, and I'm not even sure how he could hear it that well with all the wind, and I was downwind from him and facing the other direction, I don't know how he did it with the way he was tied up, but that horse literally managed to fold himself in half so he could crane his head around to look at me as soon as he started really hearing my voice. And again, I'm a good 50, maybe even 60 feet away. I can't even see him that well, to be honest. But he heard my voice, and he craned around and looked right at me. And kept looking right at me, and that immediately got my attention. With everything else going on, and other people talking, and other noises, and people working horses, and cattle in the middle of the pen, that horse homed in on me and my voice, and kept staring at me. And I thought, whoa, huh, okay, I'm not sure what all that means in this moment, but that really got my attention. So I get the horse, get on him, I'm working him, and I hadn't been on him probably 5 minutes, and I thought, oh, shoot, I'm about to write a check and get another horse. He was just a cool horse with a lot of talent. He was just really fun to work a cow on, but I still didn't know the other part of the story yet. But it was really piquing my interest, and I wanted to see where this was going to go. So I end up getting the horse, bring him home, and I noticed one day he got a lot more freedom at my place with me. He went in the stall at night, but he was out during the day with the other horse, and I started noticing when he'd come running up at night, when I'd come out to feed him supper, and they knew I was out, and they'd come running in from the pasture to come see me. He just had a way of moving and looking that he started kind of reminding me of a wild Mustang. Even though he's a really highly bred quarter horse. But it stuck out, and I thought, okay, that's a little intuitive thing, but I still didn't get the rest of the story and was just enjoying having him. Fast forward a bit. there's a point where he's just really unhappy. And he's just visibly unhappy. You can see it in his face and his demeanor. And I knew he was unhappy. I knew there was something going on. And it was a bit of an ongoing thing. And I thought, wow, I'm not sure yet what's going on here. So I was paying attention and communicating with him and saying, you know, obviously asking him, hey, what's wrong? Talk to me. And he started telling me things, and he was upset because I didn't quite realize who he was. And part of that was he didn't quite understand who he was, say, like at a soul level. Now, at this point, this horse had had some injuries and some kind of funky, weird, out of left field stuff happen, and multiple things happen. And rather than go through heroic efforts and ask this horse to do some things I didn't think he should have to do, he was retired from competition. This competition can be real, they're super athletes, it can be really hard on their bodies, and I just didn't think it was fair. Enough things were going on, it happened, and you know, I didn't just want to strap him up and drug him and stitch him up and put, you know, I just wanted him to have a good life and not, you know, I would like to have shown him more, but that's just the way it goes in the horse business. I didn't get to show him very much at all, to be honest. And he was really super cool. And we could have had a ton of fun and won some money. It was more important that he was not running to the ground. So he was retired. Not sure he was real happy about that. So what was coming up in the conversation with him at that particular moment in time was, you know, he was frustrated that he wasn't showing and competing because for him, part of that was, hey, I'm really good at this. This is my job. And I'm not getting to go do it. And I'm not getting to go show who I am in the show pen. And he was going on and on about that. And I was telling him, I'm just so sorry. I'd rather be showing you too. And I'm almost in tears at this point. Because I said, look, I'd love to be showing you. But I'm not going to run you into the ground physically. I mean, this just isn't right. And, you know, I'm not sure what else to do for you. It pains me too, but this is where we're at. And this was after thousands and thousands of dollars and MRIs and all kinds of stuff and multiple things going on. Some run-of-the-mill things and then some other kind of nutty stuff that was really unusual. I said, I don't want you to be in pain. I don't want you to be hurt more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he was talking more about, yeah, but I have the heart of a warrior. And people are not getting to see that. And this started going into a story of, oh my gosh, I started realizing and I started flashing on, I've been with this horse in another lifetime. Another life for him, another life for me. And I was Native American, Plains Indians. And he was my Indian pony. Okay, now I'm getting choked up again. And I was male. And we went into battle together. And apparently we were very close that lifetime. He was my trusty partner. And that horse literally took arrows for me in battle and saved my life that lifetime. Well, now I'm getting really choked up again. So there's a couple of things here. This is part of him saying, but I have the heart of a warrior. And we all want to be, you know, have a certain desire, I think, for wanting to be who we authentically are and to be respected for that. And so he was struggling for that. He was struggling over that. I hated it for him. But it also brought up this whole thing of we've had this past life connection. And then it all makes sense now. He heard my voice, and on some level, he was picking up on, you know, my soul, our connection, that very first day. And for whatever reason, there was a timing to it for me. It's not that I couldn't have gotten the information that day. Intuitively, I'm a clear channel. I can get all kinds of information 24/7. We're just not always supposed to have it. And we're not, and sometimes we're supposed to have it at a particular moment in time. So there was a timing to it for me. And there's always meaning in that. And, but he definitely picked up on it. I mean, things made sense looking back and how I'd picked up on that Mustang vibe. And, this was a bit of the punchline to the story, right? You know, so I immediately knew, hey, I love this horse. I didn't get to show him very much, but, you know, I'm going to take care of him and keep him. And it just feels like the right thing to do. But it had this whole other layer of understanding and importance to it now, because I realized, wow, this horse took arrows for me and he saved me. He did that for me willingly. This other lifetime. And this particular lifetime we're in now, I'm his person and I take care of him. And to me, that matters. I think we had a pact, if you will, you know, that I wasn't aware of on a spiritual level, that we were going to be together again. And he wanted to be with me again because he wanted to protect me. And this lifetime, the way that he does that, and I didn't realize it at first, but at some point, he started telling me when I'd go out to feed him in the morning that he had protected me that night from, he had a phrase for it, and it was some malevolent energies from somebody else. And from time to time, he would tell me, I protected you while you were sleeping last night. So he was still, I don't ask it of him, but he volunteers and he does it. And again, to recognize and appreciate and express that appreciation and to be grateful for it and give thanks. These things are important. So, with this horse, to know this, I have the heart of a warrior thing, is really important. And as soon as he knew that I had heard him and I understood, his demeanor completely changed. And he never got into that unhappy mode again. And I've had him a number of years now. And from time to time, you know, I pet him and say, you have the heart of a warrior, and I know it. And thank you. Thank you for back then, and thank you for now. And it has an impact on him. You can see it. And if I maybe have gone too long without connecting with that with him, and I say it, I can really see the impact on him. Yeah. And we could apply that to people too, right? Seeing people for who they are and their purpose for us and graciously, accepting that and recognizing it and appreciating it. Yeah. So some other ways this can happen, moving on a little bit, just so y'all know, is we can have an animal in our current lifetime that can come back to us in that same lifetime. And I have a cat and a horse, or I've been lucky enough to experience that. The cat came back pretty quickly to me in the physical, within about a year and a half. And I got to spend a whole lot of time with him before he passed over. He wasn't well. And I knew it wasn't going to end well. And I just dropped a whole lot of things. I moved hair appointments and did my taxes late and, you know, all kinds of things. You know, extended my taxes and filed an extension, did things so I could spend a few weeks with this cat. My barn cat. And that's just the way it was. And he knew, you know, that I was spending all this time with him, and I let him do things his own way. And he was very clear about how I will always be with you. I will always watch over you. And I knew that. And in the meantime, I would, while he was in spirit, I would catch images of him out of the corner of my eye. So that might happen for you. Sometimes I would kind of do a double take because I'd get a bit of an image of him, you know, sitting there at the edge of the grass at the barn while I was out there doing chores. And I knew he was there, or I'd get an image of him kind of walking by. And so he was around in spirit, and I knew it, and I appreciated that, and I recognized that. And I knew he was watching over me. And then about a year and a half later, out of the blue one evening, I'm at the barn. And this cat just comes up out of nowhere, out of the pasture, and is walking down this path and just meowing, talking away non-stop, and with dogs and horses around. He is just ignoring all of them and staring straight at me and just talking the whole time, nonstop, from pretty far away, as if, you know, he had lived there all his life and knew me and this was a normal thing. And there was different things his cat did where it was like he was my barn cat who had passed over a year and a half before. And so I pretty quickly figured out that that was him. And he told me a lot of things and had some messages for me, said he'd been watching me. He's you know, just a stray that's just come up. But anyway, he said that he'd been watching me for a while, for a number of months, but there was a timing to it. So he'd been off in the pasture, maybe in the bushes around the house. I had seen cat tracks around, but, you know, I live out in the country. There's strays out here and cats on neighboring places. I didn't realize it was him. Maybe part of that time. He said he'd been watching me, but there was a timing to it. And he was also telling me how he would come and go, which he has. Kind of breaks my heart a little bit, to be honest, but I just roll with it. I don't want to cage him up. I want him to be free. But I think there's a bigger picture here, and there's messages and meaning to when he's here. And the story's still pretty new and still kind of unraveling and presenting itself. So I don't know where all this goes, but there's meaning, messages, importance to when he's here and when he's not. And when he's here, he's just a super lover. I mean, like, I almost can't even walk around because he's right there on top of me. And he'll follow me back and forth while I'm doing chores and talk the whole time. And even though he's a male cat, he will... Yeah, he just wants me to pick him up and love on him, and he kind of puts his front feet on either side of my neck, and he'll let me carry him all around and kind of hugs on me like a person almost. He's a really sweet, cool cat, and I miss him when he's not here. But I understand there's messages, and there's a whole lot more to this picture. It just hasn't been revealed yet, and it's still in the early stages. And the third horse I have at this time is the reincarnation of my most beloved and treasured horse as a kid growing up, that was my best friend growing up, that I got to have for, you know, a handful of years. And for different reasons, they made me get rid of her, and I cried and hated it. I just didn't have the power. I was a kid. I didn't have the power to have that come out differently. But I've never forgotten her. And honest to Pete, I think she was my best friend when I was a youngster, looking back. Spent a lot of hours on her, rode her bareback. Spent a lot of time with her by myself out on acres and acres, and she taught me a lot. And again, when she came back, this time, similar to some of the other experiences I've had, my trainer called and said, "Hey, you need to come look at these horses. We know the horse you have is not panning out like it should, and we want to kind of make a deal and trade and get you into the right horse and keep you going. And I've got these three young horses for you to come look at." And the bottom line is, out of the three, I picked one, and I just couldn't not home in on her. And some of the other horses technically appeared to be a little more talented, maybe physically in a way, but I felt there was something about her spirit and her heart, and I just thought, no, it's supposed to be that one. And then I realized, my gosh, I think that's, you know, my mare reincarnated. And I didn't want to be spending the money at the time, wasn't even sure I could gracefully swing it. But of course, as things work, are supposed to, they work out, and I found a graceful way to make things happen, and I got her. And yeah, so that's my mare that I have now. And she's a real sweetie, and we definitely have a connection. And even though I've had her a few years, there's still some things unraveling at a certain time and way and pace, even with her. Even though I'm super tuned in, there's still a time and a place and purpose to how things unfold and the information you get and when you get it. So, those of y'all out there who have loved ones on the other side that you miss, including animals, beloved animals on the other side, I hope there's pieces of information in here that you can glean for yourself that can bring hope and give you insight and some tangible things to run with in your life. And take this to another two or three or four or five levels for yourself. If you want help, professional help, tuning in or sorting out something maybe that's already happening around you, certainly my profession is to work with people. So anybody who wants that, you know where to find me, SueAnnTexas.com. This is obviously something I've experienced a lot for a few decades. And it's just a great thing to dive into and to be able to realize those heart connections and to really feel them and benefit from them. Certainly you need to do it while your people and your animals are here on this side. I mean, that's part of the point. Do what you can while someone's here. But also take heart in knowing that as things shift and morph, as they always will, sooner or later, that things don't necessarily end. They don't end. The connections are still there. I've been extremely blessed to have these experiences and to continue having experiences. We don't always get the people or the animals to as clearly reconnect, you know, when we want to sometimes. Sometimes an animal you might really want to come back to you. I mean, it's not a guarantee, right? The love connection's still there. You may be able to connect while they're on the other side. They may reincarnate and go to somebody else to fulfill an even bigger purpose there. And that makes a lot of people sad, but that's just the way it is sometimes. But if the bigger purpose needs to be served and you're that person that the bigger purpose needs to be served with, then you're the person that's getting that gift with that animal that time. And I think it's important to be gracious and understanding. And again, where I started at the beginning of all this is to know we really can get, do get, hopefully make ourselves, let ourselves be aware of the fact that we get all we really need when we really need it, if we're open to it and are willing to see it and appreciate it for all that it is and enjoy it. And again, we have opportunity to heighten our awareness of that and to live all these benefits. And I know it's not the same. I don't get to actually hug my Nana, my grandfather, my other grandmother, who's now come back and around more. Not physically, but they're there when I go to sleep at night. And they are right there. I mean, right there. And if I'm going through something really intense, situation in my life, really intense energy shift that's physically affecting me, my grandparents are there holding my hand when I go to sleep at night. And to not appreciate and honor that would be to dismiss a stunningly heartfelt and valuable gift. So that's part of why I wanted to share this. Even those of y'all out there who think you're not real metaphysical, you probably have had experiences anyway, and hopefully this will open you up a little bit more in a good way. If you want to go down that path, always your choice. But I just think there's, to me, this is part of the life magic, divine life magic, to build upon episode one, which was, you know, spirit is in the details of life. And to me, this is some of that life magic. And if you think, if you even just think you're experiencing a little bit of something, seeing some signs possibly, catching something out of the corner of your eye, maybe, there's probably something real deal going on. And as I said in the first episode, I always want to impress upon the importance, always your choice, but the importance of my recommendation of stick with pure love and pure light, highest good of all, to be sure you stay in a good spot with the energies, any spirits from the other side you might be connecting with or be drawing in to you. You only want to draw in, again, my recommendation, the pure love and pure light, and to with your thoughts, your intentions, your wishes, your actions, to be serving your own highest good and the highest good of all. Pure love and pure light, to stay right, highest good of all. To keep you in good experiences and a better path. So, wow, had no idea this was going to go this long today. I knew I had multiple stories to share, but I wanted to give y'all opportunity to hear all the different examples. Okay, one thing spirits reminded me of, I meant to touch on, but I don't think I mentioned. Another way sometimes spirit would communicate with me is sometimes they'll move a candle flame around. And apparently they wanted me to mention this and wanted me to mention it at the very end. So somebody who makes it all the way to the very end of this podcast is meant to hear that. Again, as I said earlier, the signs, the ways to get your attention can work however it needs to. And it just needs to work the way it needs to work for you in the moment that it needs to work. I never judge how it works. It's just like, thank you. Thank you that it came through, and thank you I understood something that mattered for me or had an idea of a presence around me that was beneficial. So with candle flame, I've seen it do all kinds of crazy things. and people can pick that apart and say, yeah, well, there's a logical, physical reason for that. I just know I've had experiences where in the moment, I knew, and it, to me, it was very clear and very obvious. That candle flame did its weird little thing, whatever it was, whether it was jumping up or suddenly leaning over to the left or making a popping noise or just for no reason suddenly getting super, super, super tall, the flame getting super tall and just crazy, like reaching way up tall. And it would happen when I would think a certain thing or ask the question of, oh, somebody's here, who's here? And it would only happen when I had that question or that thought. And point being, it did whatever it needed to do to get my attention. And it was clear to me I was getting confirmation at certain moments that somebody was there and it was helpful. And this was my sign so that I could appreciate it, connect with it, and run with it. And get the benefit that they were trying to get to me. We all have free will. We have choice. We don't have to participate in anything, any of these things. Spirit will not run over you, maul you, go against your will. You've got to be willing and open and in a frame of mind of asking for it and being open to it. They're not going to override your free will. So the candle thing can work a lot of different ways, but I've literally had them pop and make super loud noises and only at a particular moment and do it repeatedly to drive the point home that that was the message, whatever the message was. So, okay, we crammed that little message in at the very end. I truly, 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 truly hope y'all enjoyed this. I hope it wasn't too long. You can certainly, you know, fast forward and back up and hear a part you need to hear again or skip over something that you don't feel like you need to take the time for. Do whatever feels right for you and at the moment. I appreciate y'all listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. More episodes coming. You can always go to my website, SueAnnTexas.com. I have a page, a podcast page on the website where you can, it's sort of the central page. You can always keep up with what's going on with the podcast there. This originates on Podbean, but it's also on, available in other venues, Spotify, Google, Amazon, YouTube, my channel on YouTube. All right. Thank you. Blessings from Texas. Till next time.